You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 347 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Nappy.
Nappy? Why? Why? No,
I want to take a nap.
Oh, he's...
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, I just woke up from a nap.
Michael, I got here, and Michael told me he just woke up from a nap. I just got up work, so I'm a little jealous of the nap.
I'll tell you what, though. It's just going to make this episode better because I'm in a great mood. I feel energized, refreshed. I didn't even work today because it's my wife's birthday, so it's like, you know, we did some fun things this morning. They went off to their to her mother's, and they have plans, just the girls and stuff like that. So,
just the girls.
So I'm like, oh, are you telling me I can't go? Oh, please, please, I really want to go hang out with you and your two sisters. Oh, it sounds so fun to me. Let me go. No, no.
Did you pass over the credit card? Did you do it?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, no.
This is on them.
Okay. This is on daddy here.
Nope. No. She's doing fun stuff with her two sisters.
Nice.
They are on their own.
Right.
You know, whatever. Okay. She's with me. That's fine.
Right.
I got it, but yeah. No way.
But I still want to take a nap.
Well, you'll get your choice. You'll get your chance.
I'm gonna tomorrow Saturday. I think I'm gonna nap all day,
bro. I'm gonna do me a favor.
Yeah,
put that in your calendar.
I'm going. I'm gonna put it in my calendar, my phone. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna get an alarm to take a nap.
It's time to. Oh my gosh, 30 minutes till my nap.
That's right.
So today, and I really apologize. Last week we were going to record, but I had some work obligations in the evening that came up, so we just pushed it till today. So it is the 16th, and I'm afraid this episode is going to have come out too late.
Well, you know, Michael. To be honest, Michael was out partying with foreign dignitaries.
No. Number one, I was not partying. Number two, it was a foreign market management, and it was not fun. And it was, I just was like, oh my gosh, I am missing podcast for this. And
oh, really?
You
didn't even like go out and club it? I mean,
no,
come on,
we just went
good.
To dinner. We just went to dinner.
Where'd you go to dinner?
Talked. So we went to this place. It's just right down here. It's that Korean barbecue place.
Ooh,
right here.
Ooh, I love Korean barbecue.
And it was
barbecue.
Good. It was really good. But I mean, it's like I would rather miss the barbecue. But here's the thing: the importance for this, it should have come out last week,
right?
Because we're doing an episode on celluloid birth control. Okay. We're talking Grace from 2009 and The Unborn from 1991, both films about wild pregnancies and
demon babies.
But here's the thing. This was meant as a warning. You know, this episode was meant as a warning. Now it's past Valentine's Day. You're all pregnant already.
Right.
It's too late. You're all doomed.
Yeah, you're fucked.
So it's like, my goodness, I apologize, but we're still doing the same.
Are you calling this Tales of the Crib?
Ooh, that's a good one too. Tales of the, you came up with another good one that was funny. Oh shoot, because we're coming up with
I don't remember it,
but it was funny.
Gummies.
Just so you know, I made a call out to get some Bonesaw nominees because I'm like, I run out of stuff. There's only so many hours in a day that I can check out stuff. And it's
right.
So no, I got a bunch of nominations and I'm going to go through those and yeah, we'll see.
A bunch of nominations.
But yeah, I got like double digits.
Double digit nominations?
Yeah. So it's holy like, some, but I appreciate you guys giving me those because it's like, you know, when you like, so I don't know if you're like this, but like even with anything, like it's like, oh, like, getting not into a rut necessarily, but I'll get like, okay, here's what I like right now. I'm in this like a phase, you know,
and
it's hard for me to break out of the phase, you know? So it's like, I listen to this thing. I read this, you know, but no, so I need more things so I can check it out and kind of, you know, diversify my listening, especially when it comes to like independent horror stuff, because there's so much out there. You know, I don't know, you know, a lot of it's garbage, case in point, the Corpse Cast. But I mean, you know what I mean. So it's difficult to like know which ones. It's kind of like going through Tubi, right? And there's 8 million movies that you've never seen before, right? And you're like, man, that looks okay, but do I dare? Do I want to start that? Because if it sucks, I'm going to be pissed. You know, so right, it's kind of like right. that. So not the nominations are good because it's like I get some. Okay. They already have a thumbs up from somebody. You know, and
right?
So, so
right.
That's what I'm saying. So I just want to say I appreciate that.
Hold on. Yeah. People won't answer the question.
I put it out. Well, no, Steven.
Yeah.
I put it out on social media.
Okay. It's a fine line between, this and that.
I'm just saying, listen, I mean, if you want to ask us the question of the episode and have people call in.
I don't even know what the question is anymore.
There isn't one. But that's up to you. You can do it. But you also have to take control. You have to take responsibility.
Right.
For reminding people, because people don't do it.
You know, honestly, coming up with new questions is hard.
Bro, I did it for over 300 episodes. Okay?
It's difficult.
And I know that there were duplicates. In fact, I used to get called out, you asked that in episode 27. I'm like, bitch, it is 284.
Right.
You got to give me some leeway here.
Just give me another answer.
Yeah. Well, and typically, because we also have phases of like different listeners. You know, we'd have certain listeners call in for a while, and then we wouldn't hear from them for a while, but new ones would come in. So it was kind of like the same thing. You know, they're going through their phases.
Right. Are we a phase?
In and out. Well, I'm sure for some people.
I don't know if I can handle that.
No, bro. No. But if they knew you and they got to know you, you would be there forever.
I feel like I'm more than a phase.
I feel like you're to me, you're every woman in the world to me. You're my fantasy.
Awesome.
So, so man, tell me, have you been watching any good horror movies before we get in the show?
No. No? Well, let me think. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Been busy. Been too busy.
I haven't really. I haven't really watched anything, to be honest.
Except for the movies for this, huh?
I watched. Yeah. I watched Logan's Run.
That's good. We're like 20 years away, over age for that. By the way,
I love that movie.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his name? Oh my gosh, I can see his face. Basil.
Right. And Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah. It was. I like that one. I used to think, oh my gosh, 30, that's plenty of time to be old. You got to get out of there.
So that movie creeped me out when I first saw it as a kid. Yeah, when they're like ascending, you know, that scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And then fish and plankton and other food from the sea, you know, the robot. And that movie scared me.
Dude, so I decided to, we all know the classic Psycho, 1960, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you realize that 20 plus years later, they came out with part 2, part 3, and part 4. And I watched 2, 3, and 4. I'm just going to mention it real quick. They're very, very different than the original one, right?
I haven't seen anything past the first one.
No, well, the thing is it's, I mean, it literally, the sequel is 20 years later.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, but they're really good, just kind of slasher flicks, you know? And they have that 80s feel. Yeah, it's got, what's his name? Oh my gosh, Anthony.
It's not Parker.
Bates. Bates. Anthony. No. Oh my gosh. Perkins.
Perkins.
Anthony Perkins is, yeah. And then, but you know, it's just, they're just kind of more of an 80s style slasher, you know?
Right.
And they're good. They don't like compare to like they're not masterpieces like the original, right? But they're really good. I watched a slasher from 1986 that I'd never seen before it's really good. It's called Killer Party. I don't know how I've never seen this before.
Okay.
It was great.
All right.
Everyone go check that out. And I think the next episode, we ought to, or on a soon upcoming episode, we should do lesser known movies from Masters of Horror. And like, for instance, Frank Henenlotter. Who would you say Frank Henenlotter's big movies are? Like Basket Case or...
No, sure.
My gosh, I just forgot the... I have this movie I'm about to mention. Yeah, Frankenhooker, and you got the Brain Damage. That's what it is.
Oh, Brain Damage. Then, for sure.
But he got some other like Bad Biology, and which I watched. It's a wild movie.
One.
It's like from 2006 or so, 2008, and it's wild. And so we ought to do something like that. Maybe pick a couple of Masters of War. Consecration from 2023 was really good, by the way.
Okay.
That was an unexpected twist,
too. Consecration, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
I lied. I did watch it. In the midst of these The Unborn and Grace, after that, I watched Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, classic. It's right in, bro. So classic. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know,
it's Roman Polanski at his second best after The Ninth Gate.
Oh, it is. You know, I always forget how good, was it Mia Farrow?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How good she is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just...
Dude, what are the... I can't remember the name of the... of the neighbors, those two called older folks.
Right.
Those two are creepy. Like, so those are, oh my gosh.
And the one gal from In Which Way You Can and In Which Way But Loose, Ma, you know, the old, that goddamn baboon, you know.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen
that? I can't, I know, because Clint Eastwood, I love him.
Right. So it's not Ruth Gordon. Who is it? I forget. But
Ruth Buzzy?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. She's in it.
I know her.
And I was watching. I'm like, oh, holy shit! Right? She's what? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I always love it in Any Which Way You Can, Any Which Way But Loose. But yeah,
should
check those out.
I know. You know, they're on my list, and I own them.
Clint Eastwood is a bare knuckle.
Well, I like Clint Eastwood, and I'm not a huge Western fan, but I'm a fan of the Man with No Name trilogy. Right?
I just can never understand Sandra Locke.
I don't know. I have to see who that is.
You know, and they were, you know, and I could be wrong, but I think he was still married to his first wife when he was having an affair with Sandra Locke.
Oof.
You know, and right, where, you know, and she was in another movie with Clint Eastwood, a Western, I forget which one that was, but I just.
The Outlaw Josie Wales.
The Outlaw Josie Wales. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was in Josie Wales. But I
looked that up, folks, just so you know. I don't want to. Yeah, no, I don't want to pretend that anybody think that I actually knew that.
I never got the appeal to Sandra Locke.
No, she. Well, I mean, listen.
I mean, you're Clint Eastwood. I mean, nothing against her. I don't know the lady, but
we're basing it. We're totally off looks. We're dudes.
Right, totally.
We're
totally
dudes, and we do that.
But she.
Oh, and Steve got busted today. He sent me a naughty little text the other day.
Which one?
Yeah, I know. And I said, hey, will you text, ask Steve. I was going to hand it to him.
Right.
To her, say, ask Steve what time he can go today. But then I pulled it over, I handed it to her, and she goes, what's this? And there's a naked lady on
the...
And so I grabbed it back. I grabbed it back and texted you later. like that
oh,
silly.
Oh,
boy.
I know which one it was.
It was on our
in our messengers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a good one. That's a good one.
Listen,
yeah.
Honey, if you're watching, I never enjoy those that he sends me. Yeah, he's a filthy, filthy boy.
I only send them to him out of spite. You know, or
why do you,
not spite, but you know,
I was like, just, spite. I mean, hate my guts because
no.
Because please,
I have to send this, or just, you know, what am I trying to say?
He's like, I have to send this, or else I can't control myself. I'm shaking. I'm a psycho. This is what.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know
where this conversation's going.
I think, I don't know.
Oh, well, I got busted.
I do have a bone saw. I do have a bone saw for this episode. And you know what that means? I have to play our little intro.
Do it.
I gave you a chance.
I didn't do it.
Thank you.
I didn't do it. Yeah.
Bone saw.
All right, so this one is I'm going to go ahead and give you a full disclosure. He is a fellow douche, okay? And he's had a podcast for, I swear, as long as I've been podcasting with the Cadaver Lab and everything like that. It is Vaughn from Motion Picture Massacre. So he's kind of an off-putting fella, you know? You know, it's like you're talking to like the meanest guy from New Jersey ever who hates your guts, right? And you it's kind of a torture to listen to because you kind of think he hates you. You're like listening to it, but I don't know of anybody who knows like so much about film and who will sit there and talk about it in an entertaining way. Obviously, I'm joking. He's a really nice, caring guy in real life, but don't ever tell that to him because he will say, go fuck your balls. He says weird shit like that, too. He goes, Captain, fuck my balls. Or he's like, oh, he's just a weird guy. Anyways, go check out Motion Picture Massacre. .wordpress.com. It's a really great show, and it's a solo show. So basically, he'll watch a couple of and he'll have people on, he's like a podcasting like nomad. He'll be on a lot of other ones, but he'll have people come on his. But basically, he always knows what he's talking about. He always picks out super interesting movies. Especially in the old days, there was like a lot of shit that I had never heard of, right? So this was, especially in the beginning, it was a good resource for me to pick out movies that I'd never seen and to hear about them. And I guess just kind of learn from that. Anyways, there you go. And by the way, just as if anybody forgot, the Bonesaw's the award that the Corpse Cast gives out once every episode. It's the most prestigious horror award that there is. And Vaughn, that one's for you. MotionPictureMassacre.wordpress.com. Yeah, so check it out. All right, Steve.
Yeah.
You about ready to get into it, huh?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me do a little intro to the subject, okay? And basically, we're talking about pregnancy, like one of the most terrifying things that people can do in their daily lives, right? I mean, I have 3 kids, and it was horrifying to me. All 3 of them ended up coming out C-section, so it was like a bloodbath. Right, it was a nightmare, a waking nightmare. I got to see all that stuff. However, it was horrifying in a different way with her, a different way than the movies, because it's like for her, it was, oh my gosh, I have this thing growing inside me, whatever, and so much could go wrong. You know, the doctor could mess up. I could have, you know, complications, blah, blah, blah. Well, so that's what she's thinking about with me. I'm thinking about, I don't know how I'm going to raise this kid, blah, blah, blah. But let there be no doubt that there is this is a horrifying thing. There's something growing in your body, something making the woman go crazy in her brain, siphoning her nutrients, basically demanding you to do what it wants for the full term of gestation. Can you imagine carrying an autonomous entity inside you? And once it's done baking, it's a dangerous procedure to get it out of you. Think of all that stuff. And yet I've done nothing but describe a normal pregnancy. You know, and I was talking about one of the billion risks that naturally come along with pregnancy. But what if it's Satan's baby, like it was in Rosemary's Baby from 1968? What if it's cursed by an evil spirit, like in Husiera, the bone woman from 2022? Oh,
it was so good.
What if it's pronounced dead in the womb, like Grace from 2009? Finally, what if it was a product of science gone wrong, like in The Unborn from 1991? Well, at least for those 2 last situations I mentioned, you are about to find out. So why don't we go ahead and get into it? Play a trailer from Grace from 2009.
I'm going to see a midwife.
There's a reason people have babies in hospitals.
We're just checking it out.
Anybody breaks out of power, Crystal, we're leaving.
Tia,
keep the focus on you and your baby.
It's beautiful.
The less this place looks like a hospital, the better.
Michael! Maybe you should just pull over. Please, she isn't moving.
Baby's descended. You're a great man.
After the accident, she told us the baby was dead.
Stay.
Madeline, you can't will a baby back to life.
It's Grace. Her name is Grace.
The stars in heaven, tucked in the sun, and each little flower knows this day is done.
Madeline, I know that you do not want to take her to the hospital, but there are some tests that can help us understand.
We're not a case study. Please, hold me.
Ah.
That baby is sick.
You don't understand. She's special. She needs special food.
Vivian.
God, Madeline, you look terrible.
I'm just feeding the baby.
All right, we are back, and we are talking about demon babies.
Demon babies.
Demon babies.
You know, and the thing is, let's be real.
Yeah.
They're still demons all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
They're demon babies.
I mean, not literal demon babies, but kids are just... terrorists as they are, okay, but I'll keep focused on the episode. Sorry,
demon babies. This is Grace from 2009. This is put up by is directed by Paul Soleil. Is it Soleil?
I thought Soleil? It was Soleil too, but yeah, oh, Soleil. Yeah,
oh, he's Canadian, so you never know.
No, right.
Who's got 9 writing credits, 12 directorial mm-hmm. credits, 7 producing credits. This comes in with an IMDb of 5.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes at 72%. Starring Jordan Ladd, who's got 55 acting credits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael.
Yes.
Michael, we were talking about Jordan Ladd just a little bit. May I go down the rabbit hole?
Yes.
Okay. So, folks, if you don't know who Jordan Ladd is, Jordan Ladd, I was like, huh, Ladd, interesting. I wonder if she's related to Cheryl Ladd. Well, mm-hmm. that's her mom from Charlie's Angels, right?
Oh, that's 80s, right. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Right? And so it was like, okay, interesting. Well, she's related to Alan Ladd
mm-hmm.
and Alan Ladd Jr. And her mom was a famous actress as well.
Okay.
Now, who is Alan Ladd Jr.? I hear you asking me.
Who is Alan Ladd Jr.?
Yeah, I will tell you. He was born in 1937. Just passed away in
is that her dad?
In 2022. No, it's her uncle, Alan Ladd Jr. Okay, now as a producer who started the Ladd Company.
Okay.
The Ladd Productions.
Makes sense. You
know, and so he worked for, let me get this right. He to say that he's producing movies is an absolute understatement. So he did a little movie, Michael. Maybe you've heard of it. Star Wars, A New Hope, 1977.
Wait, yes.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah. How about Alien? Oh.
Yes, I've seen that one too.
Young Frankenstein.
From Blücher. Right.
And then he went on to do such greats as Night Shift, Police Academy.
Oh, that's cool.
The Right Stuff, Chariots of Fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And he, you know, his, it goes on. How about one called Braveheart?
Oh, not every man truly lives.
Right. Braveheart, the Brady Bunch, the movie.
Oh,
Six Degrees of Separation, Fatal Instinct. I mean,
wait. Fatal Instinct. That sounds like a '90s thriller with
right.
What's her name's boobies in it?
Right, right.
Gene exactly. Simmons' wife's boobies. am I being oddly specific?
Yeah. Benny and June, The Untamed Heart. I can just keep on going. Of Mice and Men. I'm just going on and on and on. I mean, to say that he has produced movies and his company's produced movies is an understatement. He has got hundreds and hundreds of movies in his under his production credit.
Okay.
So, So Jordan Ladd comes from Hollywood royalty. Like,
we didn't even plan that, folks.
Right. Unbelievable. And then Samantha Ferris, who is in this movie, also 90 acting credits. Gabrielle Rose, 198.
Really?
Acting credits. And then Serge Houd, 196. So
this poor guy in this movie. Yeah.
This cast is loaded, man.
And you know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
Is Paul Sullett, I mean, okay, so he's friends with Adam Green. And I don't know, Adam Green's a guy who did the Hatchet series. He did Hollis in the TV series, but he's kind of one of those horror guys, right? He produced this movie. In fact, he was actually in this movie as the guy selling the meat in the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
So, and I wonder if that hookup is how he got these guys. Because, I mean, this was one of his first directorial credits, but this is based off of a, I don't know if I'm getting too much into your thing.
No.
Based off of a short that starred Brian Austin Green.
Mm-hmm.
The great. But so I'm wondering if that's how he kind of pulled this together. Because, yeah, this is one of his first things.
Right.
He directed a sequence in Tales of Halloween, Fangoria Blood Drive 2. And it's like, he's done a few things, but like, not that many things.
Right. And well, he did this as a short. It premiered at Sundance, right? Mm-hmm. Huge. And then he did this, you know, as a major feature. Now, also I'd like to say Jordan Ladd was in Cabin Fever.
Yes, she was. Yep.
You know, so we can't forget.
She was
that.
A good girl that liked the boy from Boy Meets World.
right. Okay. So after two failed attempts at getting pregnant, Madeline and Michael Matheson, Madeline is Jordan Ladd and Michael is Stephen Park, try a third time. They consult Madeline's midwife and ex-girlfriend, Patricia.
What?
Right? To aid with the delivery. What happens? Madeline and Michael are involved in a car accident, which results in the death of Michael and the unborn child.
Duh.
Madeline wants to carry the baby to term. Kind of creepy right there. That's kind of weird.
I don't know if that's normal. I don't know what that is. It's just still creepy.
And when the baby is born unalive, as a stillborn, or is it?
Where is it?
Or is it? Watch Grace 2009 and find out. Thoughts, Michael?
So I'm going to go ahead and start with this. First of all, this is not your feel-good movie of the year. This has a very heavy weight on it.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, even from the beginning, before the tragic car crash, you're getting a lot of this bullshit.
Right.
That everybody goes through. Well, I don't know if everybody goes through, but like an like a mother-in-law who just won't shut the shit up.
About telling you
what to do and how to do it. And, you know, and the person who played this, what was her name? Vivian Matheson, Gabrielle Rose, who played it?
Right.
Gabriella
Rose. Right?
Gabriella Rose, yeah.
Yeah.
So she played it well. Like, I was irritated with her from the get-go.
I wanted to stab myself in the ears, and I could still hear
And it's just like, I remember going through this, and my mother-in-law was like just bossing my wife around, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay, cool. Leave me out of it, please. You guys can work out your abuse, you know, whatever.
So what you're telling me is Grace was triggering for you.
It was PTSD, triggering for me, yes.
Of mother-in-law PTSD.
Yes.
That's coming back on you. And it's like, oh, I forgot this. I forgot, you know, repressed, you know, deep-seated, you know.
And it's funny because my youngest child was born in 2008. So
right.
It was probably the first time I watched it when it, you know, I probably saw it in 2010 or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, man, it was still new back then. You know, so my youngest kid's 16 now. That's been a long time, and it's still getting to me.
This is the first time I've seen this.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, and what do I got to say? The directing, the directing was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to say, the acting is really good, mm-hmm. you know. The script...
Let me ask you something. And this happens from time to time. And like, I'll come out and say, I really like this movie. I think it's
mm-hmm,
great.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is they took an idea for a short and stretched it into a whole movie.
Right.
And you know, and I've never seen the short, so neither, I don't know what it's like. But I'm sure they added a lot, like with the mother-in-law stuff, like the overbearing mother-in-law. Also, I think that they probably add a lot more. And Jordan Ladd did an amazing job of this, because when a woman has a baby and she's staying home and she's watching and she's getting no sleep, they are haggard. And Jordan Ladd looked haggard in this.
She did.
Like there was parts where you're just, I mean, like you're so tired and you're just dying. And then, you know, and I'm like, and that's just because the baby's keeping me up. I'm like, honey, go take care of the baby because I'm trying to sleep. Right? I only got 8 hours of sleep last night. I'm trying to get 10 tonight.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and go, you know?
Right.
So, and I'm just teasing. But she looked tired. And I think the main idea or point of this movie is how far would a mother's love go to take care of that baby? And you watch these mothers new and without the undead baby stuff,
right?
And you see what they will do, the sacrifices that they will make, and then you add this on top of it. I think that's a pretty tall order because it's like, watching this, I was like, oh, yeah, bro, this is gnarly.
Because if to be honest, if I were there, if my wife had a demon baby, I would have gotten rid of the fucking thing. I would have gotten rid of that demon baby.
Well, and the thing is it's like, I mean, so you see Jordan Ladd,
yeah,
having this baby, and not only is she, you know, it looks scary. I mean, it is like,
oh yeah,
like it's coming. It has a taste for blood, right? So she's finding ways to feed it blood, and not only that, it's putrid. The stench is there.
Well, flies yeah, on the baby,
and it's like flies on the baby. She never wavered. You know, right, she was right, like, I'm going to protect this baby. And I mean, there were people that were against her trying to take the mother-in-law's trying to take it over.
Right,
all this stuff. But it's just like, I think that was kind of the big thing.
And the creepy doctor. Yeah, that whole breast pumping scene.
Yeah, it's like, bro,
it was went on a little long and a little too sexual with the pumping.
And I was like, bro, where'd you get that breast pump? The Inquisition
from the 1800s. It's like, well, these ones really have some great suction. He's like,
it's like, listen, Gramps, get off my nips.
I know. Yeah, he had to go.
Yeah,
but okay, I wish that they had more blood on the baby. I'm just gonna say that, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, because when she was first handed the baby, mm-hmm, when it was first born, it was dead. You could tell it was a fake baby, but it was kind of creepy, you know, because it's kind of all wiggly, you know. Yeah.
Bro, that's how new babies are, though.
No, but especially dead new babies. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. Oh, my gosh.
What are we getting into, some Alice Cooper song territory?
But that was bizarre. But then when you get into when she discovers it needs blood,
yeah,
and then goes to the store and buys the store out. I was just thinking, what was the bill on all this meat?
Yeah.
You know, like, what, $500? You know, like $1,000, like, and then the baby just to throw it all up. But
and women, if your baby does that, I think that socially it's okay to shoplift meat. And if your baby's a demon baby that drinks blood,
demon baby, right?
No jury will indict you, jury will convict you.
So I thought that some of the side stories were a little bizarre. I'm gonna say it. The sex scene with the mother-in-law and mother and father-in-law.
Well, it showed the mother's like her son just died, and there's a whole thing son and her maternal instincts coming in.
Right, right.
And she's trying to get it with the baby. Now, that was that poor man. This woman was a terror. Bossing him around. Yeah. Just like, oh my gosh, now, I hate this woman.
I felt bad for Stephen Park because she didn't give a shit. Her husband just died. No. Did she even nothing showed going to the grave,
right,
or, you know, the funeral? I don't know. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, get rid of him.
Yeah. I got my demon baby.
No one's asking.
You know, but in the end, are we going to get into the...
Get into whatever you want, man. Let me mention one other thing, too.
All right.
You know how, this is about as upper class white womany as you can get, right? You're talking. She was a vegan. Right. She was a vegan. Right.
Oh yeah, sure.
Which makes it even weirder, you know. She needs the blood for the baby, right?
Right, right.
She goes to a vegetarian. So I assume she's a vegan because she's watching animal cruelty, quote unquote cruelty videos on, you know, for her daily morning.
He just jump right there.
And then they go to this midwife, this witch, right? And the lesbian lover of her old lesbian lover brings out vegan cookies, and I'm like,
right.
This is about as annoying, like, upper class white bitch shit as a Stanley cup full of pumpkin spice lattes.
In fact, didn't she have the baby in water?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't show her doing yoga.
It could have. We'll wait till the next movie for that.
Go shopping at a Lululemon.
Yeah. So you have all these things and everything comes crushing down on her and shit. She's still got to take care of this baby.
Right.
But the problem is what happens when the baby starts teething.
Right. Oh, the end. I'm not going to give it away. No. The end with the...
No.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame. The kingdom has no and has a shortage of perfect breasts.
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes. I can't remember how that goes.
Oh, right. Princess Breast. Yeah. Classic.
That's the best.
I don't know. What do you think, Michael? I like it.
I see. Go out and get it. I bought the DVD quite a bit back. It's actually okay. You can watch it on Tubi right now with ads. That's where I watched it this time. Actually,
so, I got on Amazon. It's like $3.99. Oh, is it
okay?
Yeah.
So you don't have to sit through the ads. But yeah, man, I thought it was good. I thought that Paul Solit was going to be, around the 2010s, 2010s, like another one of those kind of up and coming.
Oh yeah, sure.
I know
like
he does.
Eli Roth or you know. Like,
yeah, I mean you know like, yeah, sure. Like an Adam Green, like you know something like that. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember the guy who just made something flesh, Insatiable Flesh, or what was that called? Suitable Flesh.
Wow.
Have you seen that? No. So Suitable Flesh was directed by a guy named Joe Lynch. And Joe Lynch is actually a buddy of Adam Green's. So, you know, they're kind of like guys that are, you know, probably around my age now. And, you know, they were around, they were making like Hatchet movies. Joe Lynch was making Cabin Fever. He made the Knights of Badassdom, all stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, so I thought that he was going to kind of become one of those. He's even been in like a bunch of Adam Green like shorts and things like that that they would put out for their, you know, their YouTube. Like, have you heard of Jack Chop?
No.
I'll have to send that to you. It's funny. Check it out, Jack Chop. And that's Paul Solit who does that.
So okay. All right.
It's a really funny little short thing like that. And so I started following him on like probably Facebook or something like that.
Right.
And he started, it seemed like he started to get into a lot of photography. I don't know what he's doing these days. I haven't really kept up with it. But yeah, he came out with this one at least. Like I said, he's done other things, but I like this one quite a bit. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's a bummer or what it is, but it's like, yeah, I just expected a lot more like kind of horror type of stuff from
right,
him, but
sure,
he
sure.
just hasn't materialized, but no big deal. I'm sure he's happy doing what he's doing and up mine for suggesting that anything different. Okay.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's a creepy movie. I think was it 5.2 on IMDb? I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
I wish Brian Austin Green was in it. Let's be real.
Yeah, sure. But I don't know. I like the unsettlingness at the end.
Yeah, and it's not, it's not like you're not going to get, it's not a ton of gore, not a ton of violence.
Right.
Not a ton of jump scared, not even, you know, none. This is all about atmosphere, and this is all about the inevitable weight of realization that not only do you have a baby, but which just comes crushing out down on
you, right?
But it's also that it requires a special diet.
I think Jordan Ladd does a good job carrying the movie, you know, and like you're saying, when her deterioration, you know, like getting anemic and, you know, from like giving the baby your own blood and, you know, trying to like, you know, I think she does a good job in portraying that, you know, in that portrayal of what a mother would do. I think, you know, it's a strong performance.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a good flick.
Yep, right on.
All right, so why don't we do this? Let's get into a trailer for The Unborn from 1991. We'll be right back.
Technology of in vitro pregnancy has progressed so rapidly that today almost anything is possible.
I'm going to be a mother.
They wanted it more than anything.
Meyerling really is the best. His success rate with infertility is close to 100%.
They thought it was impossible.
Your case is trickier than some, but I don't anticipate any difficulty.
Dr. Meyerling gave me these pills.
Don't take them.
Stop fighting it.
I don't trust him.
Let it happen.
He's not an ordinary doctor.
We'll take care of you.
A geneticist with a vision.
They are better, stronger, more intelligent. They don't mean to cause harm.
There's this thing growing inside of me. It's not my baby.
What you need at this point is some counseling.
It's not human.
No!
Meyerling changed it. It's not part of me. I have no choice. I have to get rid of it now before they find me.
You're obviously in the third trimester. It's against the laws.
They're doing something to the children. They're changing them. They don't belong to us anymore. This is not my baby. I don't know what it is, but it is not mine.
They're eating us alive!
The unborn. Having a baby can be a scream.
All right, everybody, you just heard the trailer for The Unborn from 1991. This movie gets a 4.7 on the IMDb scale, which I think is kind of a crime. It's like, I mean, it's a movie from 1991, so it's still the early 90s, which I don't know. I feel like the 90s as we think of them didn't really start till 93 or 94, you know, because I mean, we're still doing hair metal at this point, you know?
Right, right. I just think of shoulder pads.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, so I think Slaughter's first album came out in 1991, right? So
no.
What? Like, what's it called? Stick It to You? Like, I know Slaughter's Stick It to You is their first. That's how.
Right, right, right. But 91?
Stick It to You. No, sorry. January 23rd, 1990. So,
but still,
but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so we're still in the 80s here, all kind right. of, you know, and this looks like kind of, you know, that same kind of 80s movies, know, the look and feel of it. You've got,
I'll always still be in the 80s.
Bro, that, I mean, is there a better decade? Like, I mean, maybe it's because I was younger than 15, but the 80s were, it's like, oh my gosh, like even now it's like. Like you, I mean, like I remember when grunge came out. Like we're like, oh no, man, we don't want that. We don't want that poser hair metal, man. Those guys didn't really know. It's like shit. Those guys knew how to play their asses off, you know.
Oh yeah,
and they knew how to sing. And
then
these guys, like you got Kurt Cobain, and it's like, you know, he had a sliding, you know, bar chord, and you know, whatever. I'm not saying they can't play. In fact, you know what's funny?
Yeah.
Is what's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins? Billy Corgan?
Yeah.
I saw him when he was 18 years old, a video.
Okay.
Shredding.
So.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, he never used that in the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. I loved grunge, and I loved when it came out. And,
I do, too.
I was right there, you know. I felt like I've, like,
but I don't listen to it now.
I do.
I rarely listen to it. Like I'll pull out like a Screaming Trees album,
oh, man.
Or like right. I mean, I listen to Alice in Chains, but I never really quit listening to Alice in Chains, right? But it's rare for me to pull out a Nirvana or a Pearl Jam.
Oh, you know? yeah, no.
And Melvin's. I mean, there was a lot of wild shit in the 90s. Anyways,
right. I was the first time I saw Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
Was on the Siamese Dream tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I did. But I got the first time I heard the Smashing Pumpkins was on Gish.
Yeah, same.
Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how tall he was.
Oh, I didn't. Is he tall?
Oh, dude, he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
He's like, and once he shaved his head, he looks like this big alien.
Oh, I know.
Because his noggin looks so big.
Like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't know about.
Yeah, but it was the 90s. The weirder, the better.
Right,
you
sure.
Know? So
sure.
It's like, anyway, so. So yeah, I'm still saying this is kind of an 80s movie.
Okay. I'm sure. No, I agree with you. I would agree with you. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of got, you're right. It did have that feel of like, what was that one that we watched? Elves.
Yep.
Kind of. Yeah.
I mean, in the looks and the feel like, oh, and I'll get to it, but the first scene with the couple there was wild. They looked like
right.
This was directed by Rodman Flender. 39 directorial credits at IMDb. This is his first listed directorial credit, but he also directed Leprechaun 2 and Idle Hands. And
all right.
Leprechaun 2, man, Idle Hands was pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that one. Tons and tons of TV. Like two episodes of Tales from the Crypt and I think one episode of Millennium, but the rest is garbage. You know, sorry, bro, but I mean, you have to feed your family somehow, but bro, you directed some shit.
Okay. If it pays, man.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, he has to feed his family.
Right, right.
Like, you would not understand the things that I will do for money. Okay.
I do understand the things you'll do for money.
Like, we're all like, oh my gosh, this band sold out. I'm like, shit, I will sell out right now. I'll start a band, sell out. But it was written by a couple of guys. First guy is John Brancato, 26 writing credits on IMDb, and he has some decent big budget stuff on there. You know, some other stuff like that. But he also has some maybe more R style. But he did Mind Warp from 1991, which is I believe it was a Wes Craven made for TV movie. The Net from 1995 with Sandra Bullock. The Game from 1997 with I forgot his name. The guy.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, yep.
Sean Penn. I love that movie.
Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, which had the hottest Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Katjana Olskorger or something like that. I got to look this up because she played Blood Rain, and she is gorgeous woman who was the Terminator in Terminator 3. Christiana Loken. Yeah, she was not ugly.
No.
She's a very beautiful woman. Catwoman, Terminator Salvation, Surrogates.
What, Catwoman with Halle Berry?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
That's a good dub. I've never seen it.
Okay. I have a fondness for it.
You know what the thing
Maybe is? Maybe because Christopher Walken is in it, you know? I don't know.
The thing is everybody, I feel like, I mean, even though there's a consensus that a certain movie's bad, right? There's people out there who really like it for sure. Some reason it connects with them. And I feel like I have a lot of those. Like,
right.
Like there's one. Shoot, now I just forgot the name. Witchboard 2 with Amy Dolenz.
Okay.
It's like Mickey Dolenz' daughter. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of garbage, but it's like, for some reason, I just love that movie so very much.
Right.
And
right.
like, and even like the Julian Sands was in a movie called Vampire. It's like, I love Julian Sands. He was the warlock and all that stuff, right? But he was in this shitty movie called Vampire.
Right.
I really like that one. It's Dracula 2000 with, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. He was Musco Dude. He was the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he got all big and famous and stuff like that. But anyways, I really love Dracula 2000 for some reason. It's like everyone shits on it, but I love it.
All right.
Anyways, this is also written by Michael Ferris, 29 credits on IMDb. It seems like he and John Brancato were a team because they're kind of on all the same things. Anyway, so this movie stars Brooke Adams as Virginia Marshall. You'll definitely recognize her being horror fan. Shockwaves from 1977, Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1978. Her last credit on IMDb was last year, actually, 2023.
Oh, okay.
Remember Monk, the TV show with Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah.
So I guess they're making a movie. They made a movie, like a TV movie about that.
Yeah, sure.
This also starred Jeff Hyenga as Brad Marshall, her husband. James Karen is Dr. Meyerly. James Karen, okay. 211 writing acting credits, sorry. You know him from Ed, from Eternal Living Dead 1 and 2, of course.
Of course.
But he was also in Invaders from Mars from 1986. 870s and 80s and 90s TV series. Like, if there was a TV series, he was in it.
Right, absolutely.
So it's like he was one of those.
The Love Boat.
Apt people. Yes, exactly. He used to be like a really super handsome guy, too. Apt People, Any Given Sunday, Mulholland Drive. You know who he is. It also starred Kathy Griffin and Lisa Kudrow as a lesbian birthing couple.
So I've got to tell you, the Kathy Griffin threw me for a loop.
You're like, oh my gosh, she's horrifying to look at.
I was like, what, Kathy Griffin's in this movie? Like, what?
Random. It's like, oh my gosh, okay, cool. Well, let's go over the plot just for a moment, shall we? We open the movie with a seemingly happy couple where the wife is super pregnant and they're just getting ready for the happiest day of their life to bring in a wonderful bundle of joy.
Little do they know.
Unfortunately, when she starts having contractions, the pain becomes unbearable and she has the baby right there in the bed. However, it didn't exit the womb. It busted through the belly. Okay. Kind of, it wasn't as, I was expecting it to be more alien-ish, but
it
was just kind of a blood thing, like pack exploded
even like Hong Kong black magic.
Yeah. You know, like, it's like, come on, we want some gratuitous stuff.
Right.
So that's how the whole thing starts off. And then we start getting to the movie. Virginia and her husband, Brad, have been trying to conceive a baby for quite a while. They decide to join an experimental in vitro fertilization program Dr. Richard Meyerly runs. Miraculously, they become pregnant. Pregante. Virginia is... That's not in the notes. I just decided to say pregante for no reason. I have no idea. Virginia is now going to a new age birthing class led by Lisa Kudrow and Kathy Griffin.
who? You know what? I can see it, actually. Yeah. I can see it. It made sense.
Well, no, the thing is that it was perfect because, like, they weren't wearing, like, cool, like, exercise. They were wearing baggy T-shirts, really colorful.
It's
like, that's how it used to be, bro. And it's like, yeah, these two, you know, they're having a baby, and it's like, okay, cool. So I feel like that kind of falls into the same arena as, like, the vegan midwife, you know, type of deal.
Right.
But the doctor said it's good for, you know, good for, and this doctor has some fantastic you know, results. And it also has some less than fantastic results.
Right.
Because some of the babies may or may not be overly strong and overly smart and overly evil.
Demon baby.
Demon baby. Exactly right. It doesn't take long before Virginia starts to sense something going awry. The more she feels, learns, and discovers, the more issues point towards Dr. Meyerling and a potentially devious plan. What's going on in Dr. Meyerling's practice? Will Virginia make it to term with both mama and baby coming out of it alive? Has Kathy Griffin always been annoying? Find out by watching The Unborn from 1991. So, real quick, and this goes along with what we're saying earlier. It's like, you know, we're saying this movie feels more like an It's Alive.
Yeah,
or, you know, I guess that, by the way, that's the de facto demon baby movie. Like
right,
like,
sure.
It's like, yeah. I mean, was Larry Cohen's, like, I bought a trilogy, I think, on DVD or Blu-ray, I can't remember. But anyways, I guess that's the de facto demon baby movie.
Right.
That all will be...
that's the exorcist of demon baby movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is like, you compare Grace to that, not the same tone. This one is a little more, you know, like,
yeah,
that.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Now, I was surprised by the themes that both of these movies shared.
Okay.
We had, you know, happy couple,
yeah,
that had been trying to have a baby.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Consult other methods.
Right.
Bring in a midwife, like witchy, spiritual, you know, hippy dippy, you know, bro. You know, lesbian.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know, right.
Lots of lesbos. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
right.
Love it.
So I was surprised when I was, because I watched Unborn first. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you know. And then I watched Grace. And I'm like, hold on, like this is the same. These same tropes.
Here's
you know?
Why. Let me. I thought about that too, but here's the thing. Now, okay, so and not necessarily. I mean, okay, so it just happened to be in Grace where they were trying, and finally, that's you know, and I feel like that was made more so that the connection with Jordan Ladd's character to the baby is stronger, right?
Yeah, sure, okay.
This one, I think it was they were trying, which would make them more open minded to trying alternative and maybe unproven methods to get pregnant.
Right. Now, both movies have this negative take on alternative science or alternative medicines or alternative, you know what I mean? Because they're not portrayed in a good light. It doesn't make the midwife out, you know, this like.
No, I mean, no. But I think it's mostly because of the ridiculousness of like, maybe you're right. Maybe because it's like the hippy dippy shit
right,
is what
right.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is different.
Yeah,
it's kind of a mad scientist more.
No, for sure. The one thing that got me about this movie was the over the top crazy amount of male chauvinistic.
Bro,
I'm telling you,
bro, this rule.
You know, it's like there's this time
that's really
period.
Why we like the 80s?
There's this time period like. When they could still get away with it, putting it into movies, and this was toward the end of that,
dude.
And it's like the male chauvinism in this movie is like
it's almost like the Blazing Saddles type of thing.
Dude.
I showed Cassidy Blazing Saddles. She's like, wait, what year did this come out? And I'm going, came out in like 89. She's like, no way,
Blazing Saddles?
It came out in 1974.
Right.
But I just told her that because it's like, you know, just to be funny, but it's like, but you're right, there's so much of that.
Yeah.
And you know what? This got to the point where it's like, okay, so let's pretend that you're a woman, okay? And
okay.
You get pregnant.
All right.
Okay. And
is it a demon baby?
Well, no, just so we're on the same page so far. So you're pregnant, messing with your hormones, right?
Right.
You're moody. You're craving things.
Doesn't sound too far off of how I am now.
So you're understanding this already. But let's say you have to immediately quit smoking, immediately quit drinking, like the mom in this one.
Right.
And so it's like, is she going crazy because of all this shit? Or is it a demon baby?
Right.
And I'm like, it better be a demon baby because I am not watching a movie of a crazy pregnant lady. As scary as that is in real life, I ain't trying to get real life movies. I ain't trying to watch real life movies.
Right. Now, doesn't she drink wine in this or something?
She even smokes wine.
Smokes, you know, right? Because I was when I was watching, I'm like, you could not get away with this shit now.
No.
You know, like there's like most of the movie that they have in it, you would not, doesn't age well. Let's put it that way.
No wonder millennials are all weird. They all have fetal alcohol. Bro, I'm joking with everyone. That was purely a joke.
But here's the thing, though. At one point in time in my life, I was used to it. That was okay. I wouldn't have batted an eye. Like, if I never saw this when it came out, right, in 91.
Oh, I didn't either. This is the first time I've seen it.
But if I did... Yeah. You know, in 91, it wouldn't have been bad night.
There was back alley abortion attempt.
Right, you know? Right. Oh, absolutely.
And we're talking, okay, when you say back alley, you know, maybe you're thinking I'm being metaphorical. No. This bitch went back to an alley in the back of a store.
Right.
And, you know, in...
Right.
You know.
Oh, my God. And so, in watching this, like, now it's like, holy shit, like... This is like this dude is fucked up. Like he's an asshole. He's a male chauvinist pig.
It's wild,
you know. And just like how they treat her is like so. I mean, what does that say, you know, about me or society or, you know, now where, you know,
well, you would think that we're much better now. But then why does everything suck, you know, worse? But, you know,
right. Well, does it though? I don't know.
Well, maybe. Maybe it does. Maybe it's my perception because remember the 80s.
Right.
But I didn't care about money.
No,
that's
true.
I didn't care about, I had no, when these movies came out, here's the thing. I think part of my luck was, because if you think about this movie, it's more prevalent in Grace, right?
Right.
But if you think about this movie, this woman was impregnated, right?
Yes.
She was gaslit by her husband.
Absolutely.
Okay. She was going through all this stuff by herself.
Right.
You know, and her mother came over to help a little bit.
Yeah.
This poor old lady, you know, and stuff like that. But all these themes of relationship type stuff, you know, and I prefer to just enjoy it at face value because I don't want a movie that looks like this, that acts like this,
right,
to bring me down with that. Like Grace, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
That the whole feeling was this. But right now, I'm trying to have some fun. I'm trying to see a demon baby stick a knitting needle through somebody's eyeball.
Right.
That's what I am trying to do. Okay?
Yes.
Which was hilarious, by the way.
It was awesome.
And it's like, so... I mean, if you could get bogged down by those, by the themes, by the, because like I said in the opening, it's like pregnancy is scary. Like my wife had been pregnant 3 times, okay,
right,
and every time she was sick for the full amount of pregnancy, it was a nightmare. So it is hard enough, and this, I mean, I'm only speaking from personal, you know, and my own anecdotal evidence or whatever,
right,
but it was awful, and just think about it. We didn't even have demon babies. They didn't turn demons until they got to be teenagers. I tease there. I'm just joking. They're all wonderful children.
So remind me, what's the IMDb on this?
4.7.
Yeah, right. I liked this movie a little more than I did Grace, to be honest with you.
No, I did too.
You know, there was something endearing about this movie.
The look and the feel in those little what the shits moments.
Right. Even the psycho lesbian couple of Kathy Griffin and
Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow, which is hilarious.
It's like,
you know, but I don't know what it is. It's like I found myself like just kind of laughing through this movie, you know.
I think the older I get, and you know, the more life grinds at you, and
right,
you know, and whatever.
I don't know if they intended to be
funny. No, but I'm just saying
in parts.
I'm just saying,
but I found
this
it hilarious.
This is the kind of movie that I'm looking for. You know,
right?
Like
right.
Grace. Grace is a good movie. It looks great, and I truly like it.
Yeah,
but
it's a downer.
But okay, so let's say I have to watch. I can only watch these two movies for the next 10 movies I watch.
Right.
I'm watching Grace once, and I'm watching this 9 times.
There you go.
So, but not because it's so much better. Necessarily as a film,
right?
Because that's the mood I'm always in, and I ain't trying to.
It kind of reminded me that almost the same feel as like Chopping Mall,
exactly. You know, right.
Or
exactly
you,
right.
That,
yeah.
That just, over the top,
and that baby is wild looking, and it's like oh,
right,
it's
right.
Great. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. This one's also on Tubi, and
right,
it's on Plex. You can rent and buy it on Amazon. Did you know that Gary Numan did the soundtrack?
I did. I was like. What? Because, you know, when I saw his name come up, I'm like, okay, then I read a little bit about it. And it's like, oh, okay, Gary Newman, that's awesome, rad. And then so I was paying attention to the music. I think the music's some of the best part of the movie.
I do, too. And the thing is, it's like, it all just comes together with James Cairn as the doctor, like the silly guy from the you need a warehouse, you know,
right,
supplies.
Right.
That guy is your doctor. You should fucking know something's gonna go down. The second you see James Cairn's face in this time period, you know it. I loved it. I thought it was from 4.7. Like I said, it seems like a crime to me.
I would figure it would have been higher than 4.7, to be honest.
Well, maybe,
you know, 5.7 or 6.
Not super up there, but you know. I mean, the thing is I think my problem is too, and this has nothing to do with either of these movies.
Yeah.
I feel like I enjoy watching movies. Like I enjoy shitty movies. Shitty horror movies.
Yes.
Like, okay, so I could watch a 3 and enjoy the shit out of it, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, but then I'll watch like a 6 of an action movie. I'm like, yeah, that's okay.
Even Bigfoot. Even shitty.
We did all those. I watched like 5 or 6 of those.
I'd never have to watch a Bigfoot movie again.
And some of them were bad,
really bad.
But that's a great example of me. Yeah. I'll like watch those so much before I will.
Right. I'll watch Nunsploitation.
Well, you love it. You just like the bushes and
rosaries.
And it's like in the whipping and the screaming and the sensual touching and the, okay, anyway. Oh man, yeah. So no, these, like I said, sorry you're already pregnant, you already have to deal with this. So we didn't get this out before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Maybe Demon, you would have wrapped
Valentine's
it up.
Day.
What'd I say?
Thanksgiving.
No. Yeah. We're way late, by the way.
We are way late.
No, I meant Valentine's Day. My bad. But yeah. Yeah. You know, both the movies are good in their way, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna watch this one more often.
Nice.
From here on out, yeah. But they're both good.
Yeah. Now I gotta go back and watch It's Alive.
They're good.
Yeah.
The first one's a little bit more subdued compared to the other ones.
Okay.
I think It's Alive 3 ends up on an island or something. It's wild.
I haven't seen it.
It's crazy. I have the thing, but I do want to watch Hoosie Out of the Bone. I haven't seen that one.
The Bone Woman.
Yeah,
oh,
I haven't seen that yet.
See, that was in my.
I probably would have picked that one over Grace had I seen it.
I really liked that movie.
I gotta watch that one.
Who's Out of the Bone Woman? I thought the character development, everything, the plot.
I might watch that.
You know, coming based off of Mexican folklore, folktale.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I can't say that was. It's a good one.
So yeah, I'll probably check that one out. And I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that I didn't choose that one myself.
No, these were good.
But yeah, so we'll do that. But yeah. So I guess that's all we got for this. I'll tell you what, if you do want to call in with some feedback or some other instances of movies that make you your boner go limp, call it in at 385-351-9273. That is the bone phone, just for some feedback. Steven doesn't want the with great power of asking the question comes great responsibility of having to post the question.
It's coming up with the question.
It's fine. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay, it's fine. 385-351-9273. Make sure to tell all your friends about us. Go to Spotify and give us a like. You got to pull up our iTunes score, because people are giving us low scores on there because I'm an asshole on Twitter. Like, I'm such a BYU fan, and I'm like, oh, you guys suck. They're going on there and they're giving us.
So they're hating us.
No, they're hating me.
They're hating you.
Yeah, because I talk shit on Twitter. Nothing to do with the podcast. Nothing to do with the podcast. It's like they hate me personally. So it's like, oh, you know what? I deserve it. I mean, I deserve getting on there. Sometimes it's like talking sports shit is the dumbest thing ever. So I'm just like, sometimes I'm just like, no, I'm just going to do it. And
right, right.
People get, you know, BH'd, and I'm just like, I don't mean anything I'm saying.
Butt hurt. Okay.
Nothing I'm saying makes any sense. I don't really believe it, but I'm going to irritate you because I don't like your team is basically what I do.
Oh, my God. It's true, though. Oh, it's all true.
Oh, it is true. Oh,
it's all true.
Yeah. But tell your friends we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox. Go to CorpseCollective.com. Check out some of the other projects that are on there, as well as this. There's links to everything. Man, do you got anything else for the folks?
Demon babies.
they're all impregnated with them right now.
Yeah, it's all demon babies.
Girls. Yeah. Anyway, for the Corpse Cast, we will catch you guys later.
Bye.